Do you remember this story in Matthew chapter 8, where a very enthusiastic man came to Jesus and he said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Well, at least he had good intentions, amen? But Jesus knew a little bit better. He looked right through that man and he said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Following Jesus is difficult. It requires faithfulness from you and from me. Now, God is certainly faithful. I mean, we sing, "Great is his faithfulness." And the Bible is abundantly clear that God is faithful all the time. But what about us? We could sing, "Great is our faithlessness. Great is our faithlessness. Great is our faithlessness. Morning by morning, new failures I see." What is faithfulness anyway? Well, here is a very good definition that I found. I'm going to read it. Listen with open ears. Faithfulness is unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of the extenuating circumstances. Wow, that's a mouthful. Unfailing loyalty, consistent practice, regardless of the circumstances. That's a great definition of faithfulness. And Paul said that faithfulness is one of the characteristics that is within us because the Holy Spirit lives within us. And the fruit of the Spirit, he said, is faithfulness. How faithful are you? How trustworthy are you? How dependable are you? How faithful are you to God? God had some sobering things to say about our faithfulness. And here are just two examples. The first is Matthew 23:23. Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness." And now listen to this. In Revelation 13:10, the scripture, in this part of the scripture, it's talking about Satan at the last days when he is trying to overthrow God's kingdom. It says, "If anyone is going into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints." Both of those scriptures are sobering wake-up calls for all of us. But you know what? They tend to fall on deaf ears for people who quit when the going gets tough. Is that you? When you are not faithful to God, non-believers see that and they will ridicule you. They will say, "Oh, your faith wasn't real anyway. You Christians just like to give lip service to all this stuff, but look at you, you're not being faithful to him." We show our weaknesses, and they are always looking, you know, with telescopes. They're looking for our weaknesses. When you are not faithful to God, believers can become discouraged. And in fact, if you are not faithful to God, believers could even turn from the faith. You could be responsible for their giving up on God, abandoning the Christian faith. God, help us. We're called to be faithful. Our faithfulness to God is like a dam full of holes with the water leaking out. But let's back up just a moment. Today we're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And let us remember that when Paul was giving us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, including faithfulness, he was not just talking about faithfulness to God. He was talking to the church, and he was talking about faithfulness to one another. That is really what we're going to focus on, our faithfulness to one another. When we are faithful to one another, that's also being faithful to God. Christians, how Christians interact with one another. The church, how the church interacts with one another in the body of Christ. One of the primary ways you show your faithfulness to God is by your faithfulness to one another. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, if you get the hay down out of the loft onto the floor of the barn and you start slinging it around a little bit, there are countless applications that we could make about this. Many of you have been faithful to your wedding vows. Many of you have celebrated many wedding anniversaries. Congratulations. That's an example of faithfulness to one another. Many of you parents and many of you grandparents and many of you great-grandparents have faithfully taught your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren about God and about Jesus Christ. That's being faithful to one another. Many of you have been faithful right here in this precious gym called Covenant Fellowship. You attend regularly. You support this church cheerfully. You pray for this church regularly. You serve the Lord in this church, and you serve one another in this church. Praise God for the faithfulness of the saints right here in Covenant Fellowship. I do praise God for you. But if you have failed in those things, you know it, and God knows it. And there is no one here, who bats 100% in faithfulness. Every single one of us needs to search our hearts when it comes to our measure of faithfulness to one another in the church, the body of Christ, whether it's this church or any other church. After all, remember this, we human beings have a very high capacity for faithfulness. Really? Well, yes. Some of us are extremely faithful to our favorite restaurant. We go there all the time, repeatedly. We memorize the menu. Many of us cheer on our favorite team. We are faithful to watch the game. We are faithful to attend. We wear the colors. We ask each other, what about that game? Many of us are faithful to purchase the same make of car every time we get a new car. We just are faithful to that. Many of us would never miss certain television shows. We record them so we make sure that we don't miss a single episode. Some of us support colleges, and we support those colleges faithfully. We write a check to certain missionaries faithfully. Some of you, excel in nurturing your family. You are faithful to your family. You wouldn't think of it of being anything other than faithful to your family. Human beings have a very high capacity to being faithful to the persons and to the things that we see as most important. So, should we not exemplify even more our faithfulness to one another in the body of Christ? Here's our problem. We're better at making promises than we are at keeping them. We are better at making promises than we are at keeping them. I heard about a man who was a faithful church attendee. He became sick with a terminal disease. He was in the hospital. The pastor came to his bedside and he said, "Do you believe that God can heal you?" He said, "Yes, I do, Pastor." He said, "May I pray for you for healing?" "Yes, Pastor." And he said, "And if God heals me, I will give the church $1 million. Well, guess what? The pastor prayed. God healed him. The guy was okay. A few weeks later, the pastor saw him on the street, and he said, George, he said, hallelujah, you're well. God healed you, and you promised to give the church $1 million, but we haven't seen it yet. He said, did I promise that? He said, that just goes to show you how sick I was, pastor. We're really good at making promises, but we're not so good sometimes at keeping them. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about life. Life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And you know, that hymn has a lot of other things in it that we pray. You've sung this, you've sung this, and you've sung this. You've memorized this hymn. You have prayed this prayer. And you have said, take my hands, take my feet, take my voice, take my silver, take my gold, take my intellect, take my will, take my heart, take my love, take myself. Amen. Brothers and sisters, did you mean it? Do you mean it? Do you care? My guess and my hope is that every person in this room wants to be faithful to God and to their fellow brothers and sisters in this room. But here's one of our challenges. You and I live in a culture that's going in the opposite direction. And the Apostle Paul predicted that would happen. Listen to his words, 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power of it. That is a mouthful of disgusting truth. And many of us believe that we are in those terrible times of the last days. Of course, Christians have believed that ever since Jesus Christ ascended. But I think we are. We're in the last times. We just don't know when the end of it is. But it's getting closer and closer. How can you be faithful to God if you love yourself more than you love Him? How can you be faithful to one another in the body of Christ if your self-gratification is your top priority? And that's who we are. That's who we are becoming. The more and more as the day of the Lord gets closer and closer, we are more and more faithless. The floodwaters of those terrible times are rising, brothers and sisters, and we are waist deep. We are chest deep. We are up to our chins in these times as the day of the Lord comes closer and closer, and things are getting worse. Just look at the presidential campaign today. Things are getting worse. And I'm using that analogy of water very carefully because of what it says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil. All of the time, even at the beginning of God's word, not at the end times, at the beginning of God's word, men and women were not faithful to Him or to one another. And today it's even worse. We're constantly told this. indulge yourself because you deserve it. Have you heard those commercials? Indulge yourself because you deserve it. You know what? That is a lovely, enticing, attractive message. Indulge yourself. And there have been countless times in my life that I have bought it. I have bought that message, and so have you. Shamefully, you and I not only continue to buy that message, but we will likely increase our embrace of self-gratification. We tend to justify ourselves by saying everybody else is doing it, so it's become okay. You listening? That's a terrible phrase. Don't ever yield to that phrase. Everybody else is doing it. That's not okay. It's not. And whatever it is leads to our faithlessness. I just realized I'm giving the girls a hard time. I think, yeah, they are paying attention. I think it's time I move over here to the Democrats. The writer of the Hebrews saw the same problems in his century, and he wrote this in Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 23. He said, "Let us hold unswervingly. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We need to hear those words repeatedly, don't we? I need to hear those words over and over. I memorized that passage when I was younger. I need to hear it over and over. Hold unswervingly to the hope that lies within me. Spur one another on to love and good deeds and encourage one another. I read something fascinating that it applies here. And it has to do with the mating ritual of eagles. I bet you didn't see that coming. This is an incredible story. When a male eagle pursues a female eagle, she puts him to a test. And here's what she does. She picks up a twig in her beak, and she flies high up into the air, and she drops the twig to the ground, and he flies underneath, and he tries to grasp the twig in his beak. And then he flies up to her, and he gives her the twig back. So she takes the twig and she goes higher and she drops the twig again, and he goes up and he gets the twig and he gives it to her. Three times they do this. Why? She's testing him to see whether or not he is able and willing to catch that twig the way he's going to have to catch the young. Because when it finally comes to the time of mating and having their babies, she puts the baby birds on her back, she flies high in the air, and she shakes them off, and he comes around and catches them until they learn to fly. Just like the female eagle tests the male eagle, God tests me. God tests you on your faithfulness. When we make decisions, will we be dependable? When we promise something, can we be trusted to follow through? Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. On September 18, in the year 1870, some members of an expedition traveled down the Firehole River in Wyoming, and they had a wonderful experience. One of them described it in writing. His name was Nathaniel Langford. And I'm going to read what he wrote, and I'll bet you get to the punchline before I do. Here's what he said. As we entered the basin at mid-afternoon on our second day's travel, we were astonished to see in the clear sunlight at no great distance an immense volume of clear, sparkling water projected into the air to the height of 125 feet. Geysers! Geysers! Exclaimed one of the company. And we soon gathered around this wonderful phenomenon. It was indeed a perfect geyser. It spouted at regular intervals 9 times during our stay, the columns of the boiling water being thrown from 90 to 125 feet in the air at each discharge, which lasted from 15 to 20 minutes. We gave it the name Old Faithful. Here's what you and I need to do. We need to point to one another and say, there's Old Faithful. There's Old Faithful. There's Older Faithful. Not because we erupt regularly, by the way, but because we're dependable. We spur one another on towards good deeds. We meet together regularly because we encourage one another in the faith, in life, in living life. Did you know that shortly after Old Faithful was discovered, do you know what they used it for? They used it for their laundry. One of the great army generals of the Civil War, Philip Sheridan, took the members of his army to Yellowstone National Park, and the men discovered that if they placed their linen and their cotton fabrics over the hole, that when this boiling water came out, it washed their clothes. And it became the laundry. So here's what you and I need to do. We need to point to one another and say, hey, Old Faithful, help me clean up my act. Are you willing? Does your act need to be cleaned up? Are you willing to ask one another for help? Pastor Rick Warren said this, faithful servants never retire. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God. And I would like to say, in addition to that, you will never retire from serving God and serving one another. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that all of us will learn to make our yes, yes, and our no, no, that we may make promises to you, to one another, and be faithful to do what we promise to do under your lordship, under your banner. Lord, help us to recommit ourselves from your word, from the power of your Spirit, to recommit ourselves to being faithful to you and to faithful to our brothers and sisters in Christ with joy and gladness and in the power of his name. Amen.